The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. Peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, dear friend. You are with IRIB English Radio and today's special. Our topic is the wisdom behind calamities. Today, Wednesday, is the 28th of Shawwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Khordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is the Holy Quran, chapter 3, verse 178.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا يحسبن الذين كفروا أنما نملي لهم خير لأنفسهم إنما نملي لهم ليزدادوا إثما ولهم عذاب مهين.
And let not those who disbelieve ever think that because we extend their time of enjoyment, it is better for them. We only extend it for them so that they may increase in sin, and for them is a humiliating punishment.
رحمن يا رحمن ساعدني يا رحمن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن واسق حياتي قرآن.
The Quran has repeatedly plied the phrase, "They do not think about infidels, hypocrites, and the person whose faith is weak." This is because these persons are deprived from the insight, proper analysis, good intellect, and necessary clear mind. Sometimes the disbelievers consider having possibilities, victories, and welfare as a sign of their own eligibility, while Allah respites them upon their stubbornness towards His essence and upon their being polluted by infidelity and corruption in order that they dive deep in their destruction.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
As the previous episodes of today's special, we follow the topic calamities and disasters in life. Remember the words of the messenger, how wonderful is the affair of the believer, for his affairs are all good. And this applies to no one but the believer. If something good happens to him, he is thankful for it and that is good for him. If something bad happens to him, he bears it with patience and that is good for him. It is narrated that Umm Salama said, I hear the messenger of Allah says, there is no Muslim who is stricken with a calamity and says that Allah has enjoined. Verily to Allah we belong and unto Him is our return. O Allah, reward me for my affliction and compensate me with something better. But Allah will compensate him with something better.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to deal with how to come up with calamities and sorrows. In this connection, one of the good ways in order to calm a bereaved person is to put him or her in such a position that he or she would shed tears, freely, without any restriction or without restricting him or herself. For some time, we find that the bereaved person may not be that much willing to have interactions with others, with other people, but the reality of life is something else. The reality is that any person or any ordinary person needs interaction with other people. So after a short period of time, the survivor should return to the normal course of life. I mean, have its, I mean, regular interactions or, I mean, regular, I mean, activities and so on. Another one is that it shouldn't be said that someone who doesn't shed tears may not be that much, may not feel that much sorrowful for the dead person, I mean, in favor of the dead person. Rather, we find that even the, I mean, even those people who are, I mean, physically very strong or psychologically very, I mean, established, at receiving such a very distressful piece of news, they have to shed tears in this regard. And some other people, I mean, those people who are around them, should try to solace them, I mean, to calm them. And it happens almost to everybody.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Success in the light of calamities. The master of the pious Imam Ali alayhi salam, who was exemplarily strong physically, extraordinarily high spiritually, and unparalleled in steadfast when in difficulties, in his letter to his governor in Basra, after describing a little about his own simple food, in a part of that communication writes, I understand some of you will say that when Ali ibn Abi Talib takes so little food, he must have become extremely weak physically and too feeble to stand before the enemy. But remember that the wood of forest tree is hard, whereas the skin of fresh and green tree is thin and delicate, and that the forest tinder flares up sooner and keeps on burning longer. The trees growing on river banks live at ease and are not habituated to storms, but the jungle trees are nourished in tough weather. They grow up in hardship and are fed by scorching sun, hot winds, and scant water.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha إلا الله ما لنا رب سوى
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله ما لنا رب سوى
The wisdom behind calamities. Calamities strengthen people's resolve. Allah chose for His Prophet a hard life filled with all kinds of hardship from a young age in order to prepare him for the great mission that awaited him, which none could bear but the strongest of men who have gone through hardship and who are tested with calamities and bear them with patience. Allah reminded the Prophet of that when He said, Did He not find you, O Muhammad, an orphan, and give you a refuge? Chapter Ad-Duha, chapter 93, verse 6. It is as if Allah wanted to prepare the Prophet to bear responsibility and endure hardship from an early age.
First of all, and the first step to maintaining a solid and powerful faith is for you to know the rules. Many people simply do not know the rules. You have to learn the rules. You need to know traffic laws. You need to know how to handle a vehicle. You can't just jump, sit in a car and say, you know what, let me go out today. I'll discover the traffic laws eventually. I'll see what people do on a stop sign, how they pass an intersection, when do they turn the signals. I mean, you could technically do that. But imagine how many accidents and how many people you'll kill before you do that. The first step is to know the laws of the religion of Islam before you get into difficult situations. Many people don't know the fiqh and the rulings of the religion of Islam. That's why one hadith from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam tells us, At-tajiru fajir hatta yatafaqqah. It's a beautiful hadith. It says every businessman, every single person who conducts transactions, who works, is a fajr. Who's a fajr? Fajr is someone who is sinful, who commits sins, who transgresses. Until what? Every merchant, every businessman is sinful, is going the wrong way, until he knows his Islamic rulings. Shukran. Until you know the Islamic law. Because Islam is transactions. One hadith tells us, to summarize Islam, the Imam summarizes the religion for us. The Imam tells us religion is a set of transactions in your life. How you deal with other people, how you deal with yourself, with your family, with your friends, with your society. It all boils down to transactions. If you don't know the laws and the rules, sooner than later, you'll realize that now you're in trouble. How are you going to get yourself out?
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special, this episode of today's special. May Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
Thought.
Hello, dear friends, and how about listening to some bezels of wisdom from the Prophet's sixth infallible heir, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him. No one should be regarded as trustful before he keeps three things: funds, secrets, and honors. He who keeps two and betrays a third is not trustful.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing our discussion on the tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in which he is explaining to us and mentioning to us, again very briefly, very generally, about the units, or rather the battalions that can be found in the army of the intellect or aql, and the army in that of foolishness or, you know, jahal. Again, very rough translation. And Imam now tells us that one of those things in which is within the army of Aql is what is known as Sidq. Is that quality what is known as Al-Haq, the right, the truth. And the opposite of it, Waziduhu Al-Batil, you know, something that is wrong, something that is deviant. So this again can be explained in many ways. For example, a person in his aqidah, in his beliefs, follows that which is haq, follows that which is truth. And he accepts the truth when it is told to him. Whereas on the other side, if a person is following batil, following something that is deviant or incorrect, it can also mean many things, that either he chose to follow that while knowing the haq, which is extremely dangerous and extremely, you know, has other meanings to as well. For example, he might be arrogant, he might be boastful, he might have pride in him, and so on and so forth. As we mentioned previously, the interrelation between these characteristics. So this is one thing. Then another possible explanation could be about al-haq. Well, al-batil is that a person supports truth. It is not necessary that that truth is for him, or even for his own religion, but he understands that this is haq, this is truth, and I must get behind it and support it. This is another form of al-haq, of truth. Not only following it, but rather supporting it. Whereas on the other side, if a person understands that, no, this particular thing is not haq, but because of certain other ulterior motives, he decides to support it, whatever that motive may be. May it be for wealth, it may be for position, it may be for social status, wherever it may be. But it is batil, it is incorrect, it is wrong, it is deviant. But yet this individual decides to get behind it and support it.
This is another possible explanation of al-batil and obviously al-haq. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He enables us firstly to understand what is right and what is wrong, what is haq and what is batil. Then to enable us to accept it and then follow it and also support it with absolute, every single iota of our being. Because this is what it is, that we have to always be with haq and away from batil. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu Alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Now, in the first part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We are going to listen to the recitation of verses 76 to 78 of Surah Al-Qasas, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq Al-Minshawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إن قارون كان من قوم موسى فبغي عليهم وآتيناه من الكنوز ما إن مفاتحه
بالعصبة أولي القوة.
الجارحين وابتغ فيما آتيك الله الدار الآخرة ولا تنس نصيبك من الدنيا وأحسن كما
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 76 to 78 of Surah Al-Qasas, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Sadiq Al-Minshawi. Now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, as you noticed, Sheikh Muhammad Sadiq Al-Minshawi was reciting these verses in the riwayah of
Khalaf al-Hamza,
just like the previous program that we had, where Sheikh al-Maliji was reciting in Khalaf al-Hamza. Most of the things are the same as Hafs. There are just some
sects.
Special places, the sect and the imala. That's probably the only difference. And very rarely, the words, the harakat, of the, some words are different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, rarely. Now, we have the imala, in, for example, in the words Musa, Fabaghi.
Could you explain the phrase imala again?
Yeah, imala means inclining something
to
something
else. Better to say the term imala.
Yeah, imala means inclining something to something else. And what we mean by this inclination is inclining aliful mad into ya'ul mad. And imala, just imala, just by itself. When we say imala by itself, it actually means imala tul kubra, the major imala.
The major imala.
Which is 50% aliful mad and 50% ya'ul mad.
And what is minor imala?
Minor imala is, in Warsh we have this. We don't have it in Khalaf.
Uh-huh.
Minor imala means 75% aliful mad, 25% ya'ul mad. For example,
it's closer to aliful mad actually.
Yeah. That's right. For example, a warsh would apply imala to sughra in the same places as khalaf applies the imala to kubra.
When we have a ya without da,
zawatul ya,
a small alif above it.
The extra ya's that are not
zawatul
ya, zawatul ya, that are silent actually, because the aliful mad is pronounced. The ya, is, we don't say musaya, for example.
Yeah, the ya actually does not have dots.
Musa, Bagha. So, for example, Khalaf would say Musa, Musa, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Warsh would say Musa, Musa, Musa. See the difference?
Yeah.
Khalaf, the Imanatul Kubra, is a lot more inclined to
toward,
But for
Warsh,
we have من قوم موسى موسى موسي.
Yeah, it's closer to fatḥ to alif al mad.
Now, the other rules are the same, and now we're going to talk about those rules that are the same in the, you know, the famous method of recitation, which is Hafs an Asim.
Let's go.
Inna qaruna qaa. We have a letter of istirla, which is pronounced at the highest level of tafkhim.
It should be pronounced med. Thickly.
Should be pronounced thickly. And of course, we don't have the alif ul mad written for the word qarun. We have only the small alif that's written. Okay. Mm-hmm. Originally, there was no alif ul mad written. Okay, but they knew that it should be pronounced
in with alif ul mad. Alif ul mad.
The same way that in other languages, for example, in Persian, they don't write the diacritics, the vowels, the kasras, fatha, and dhammas, but people know them. They memorize them. Yeah. The Arabs of that time were also like this. When they saw a word like qarun without alif al-mad,
they knew that it has alif al-mad.
Or kitab.
Yes.
Kitab does not have the alif al-mad written. We only have the small alif that's written nowadays. Mm-hmm. At that time, even the small alif was not written. Mm-hmm. Okay, but they knew that it has alif al-mad. Or, for example, hadha, kitab, and words like this.
Okay.
قارون من قومي. This is ikhfa of nun sakina.
Yes.
As you know, we have many rules of nun sakina. We have several rules of nun sakina, which are idgham, ilhar, ikhfa, and iqlab. We have four rules of nun sakina. One of them is ikhfa. Ikhfa is probably more difficult than idgham and ilhar.
Because there's many different places of articulation, actually.
Yes, many ways of applying it. Mm-hmm. Because it depends on the place of articulation of the letter that's letter. After the nun sakina. And it requires some skill, actually, you know, because the point is for ikhfa, you have to make the tongue or any articulator that you pronounce the letter after the nun sakina with, you have to make it get really close to the place of articulation of that letter without touching it. This is the difficult part.
Uh-huh, and then?
And it should be really close. It should not be too far apart. For example, if you say, mia qawmi, mia, see, you're still trying to incline the tongue to the place of articulation of qaf, but it's not close enough.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, for qaf, you could place the tongue.
And kaf.
And kaf. In the place of articulation of qaf. You have the option.
But that's not a general rule.
Yeah. You could say, min qawmi. This is approximation.
Mm-hmm.
You're making the tongue get close to the place of articulation of qaf. This is allowed. Mm-hmm. You could also place the tongue. Min qawmi. See, there's a
both
difference.
Both are right.
Yeah.
And then when we keep the tongue at the inclination stage, we have to make a nasal sound for
exactly.
two counts.
Exactly, making nasal sound at the same time, and then we continue. We pronounce the letter that's after the nun sakina. Now, I want to give another example of ikhfa in verse 77.
Which would be the last, actually.
This is the last one, and this is the conventional way of applying ikhfa. Mm-hmm. That is approximation of the place of articulation of the letter of ikhfa. وَلَا تَنْسَ وَلَا تَنْسَ. We don't say وَلَا تَنْسَ. وَلَا تَنْسَ. We approximate the place of articulation of C.
And this example shows that actually ikhfa can take place within a word and a phrase.
And another quality of ikhfa is that it helps us sometimes predict the letter after.
Yes.
In Sakina.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In our hadith, it's very much criticized and condemned that a person would just interpret the Quran based on their own personal opinion. أكثر ما أخاف على أمتي من بعدي رجل يتأول القرآن يضعه على غير مواضعه. Rasulullah said, my greatest fear for my ummah after myself is the one that interprets the Quran and puts the Quran in a kind of distorted meaning, misplaces the Quran from its proper place. Yada'u means puts it ala ghayr mawadhi'ihi, means takes it from its own proper place and misplaces the Quran, means distorts the meaning. We know that alhamdulillah the Quran has not been changed linguistically, what we call at-tahriful lafzi. We don't have linguistic or literal alteration in the Quran. Allah has guaranteed that the text would remain, but Allah has not guaranteed that misinterpretation is not going to take place. Actually, Allah has warned us in the Quran that there are ayat mutashabih, and those fi qulubihim zayg, they have problem in their heart, they will try to go after these ayat to meet their own desires. So the problem that we have in Muslim ummah after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not the problem about tanzil, it's the problem about ta'wil. With respect to tanzil, we all believe in the Quran, but when it comes to understanding the Quran, that's where problems start. Sometimes understandings are based on proper scholarship, no problem, that we can have different opinions. But sometimes there are people who have no scholarship, they don't have sincerity, and they bring their own ideas to the Quran.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you on Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
منام سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
فيلم فيخ
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Nasir Rafi'i. Please stay tuned. Dear brothers and sisters, every person's character is hidden behind his tongue and words. Many of our problems in life have root in our word and how we use our tongue. On the other hand, one can develop and grow through his words. This means that we can convey many good points through our tongue or words. Now, in today's world, many societies are afflicted with the sins that are related to tongue and words. Of course, by tongue and words, I only do not mean the speaking, but also the sentences and audios and videos that are produced through social media and social networks, whether it is written or spoken. In other words, whenever you're sending a message or voice or video on a social network, you're using your tongue, and you have to be careful about what you write or say. This is because your words on social media can also be afflicted with a slander, backbite, jealousy, and suspicion. And these sins have negative effects on your life and the lives of others. Therefore, the sins of tongue are not just limited to your speaking. It can be your writing in the newspaper, website, social media, and other platforms too. As a result, we have to be very careful about our sayings and writings, because they may lead us to hellfire in this world and the other world. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Nasir Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website www.parstoday.com Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents. For humanity, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. Before, we were looking at the judicial system of Islam compared to the judicial courts in the Western world or in our current times. Among the things that Islam done when it comes to the court system, he said there is no difference between a believer and non-believer, a Muslim or non-Muslim. And that itself is a general concept that we can derive many laws out of it. So let's see what we can learn. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He revealed this verse or this law was established, is only because there were religions that they would favor their own people over others. For example, if a person of a different faith, different belief altogether, done something wrong against someone of another faith, and he goes back to the court system, which is run by his own faith, he will be favored. They will say, you know what, this person obviously is not deserving of our justice because he is what? He is not a Muslim, or he's a Jew, for example. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in Ali Imran in 75 and 76, says, if you trust him, بِقَنْطَارٍ يُؤَدِّهِ لَيْكَ, if you give him tons of money, he will give it back to you. And some of them, you give them one single dollar and he will not give it back to you. So this notion of when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Ahl Kitab, Christians or Jews, that they favor those who are of their own and they don't favor those who are against them, Islam came and says that does not exist. That should not happen in an Islamic system. That the system itself, the court system in Islam, it should deal and judge between people of faith similarly without having to differentiate between any of them. For example, we have heard the classical story of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayh and the Christian person, or the Jew person I should say, who stole the guard of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And when Amir al-Mu'mineen saw him and said to him, this is my guard, he said to him, well, no, it's mine. And then they went to court. And when the judge could not ask Amir al-Mu'mineen, he said to him, what is your evidence? Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah said, well, I don't have any evidence, so I submit that this is his. And Amir al-Mu'mineen walked off. That Jew who stole the guard, he was assuming that the judge would give a verdict based, or at least in the favor of Amir al-Mu'mineen, but he didn't. Or even Amir al-Mu'mineen himself did not accept such a thing, because the judge himself was trying to favor Amir al-Mu'mineen, but Amir al-Mu'mineen rejected. And that person realized what he has done, and then he submitted to religion of Islam. So Allah says that when it comes to your faith, when it comes to belief, you should not be used as a measure to judge between people and to favor some over other. And sadly, we might see this happen between the faith itself. For example, you see people of different schools of thought, even in Islam, they would give a verdict in support of their own people over the rest, even if their own people are the ones who are wrong, which is something Islam rejects completely without anything in between, without any flexibility whatsoever. that whether you're a Muslim or non-Muslim, doesn't matter what your faith are or what your faith is, you have to be dealt equally in the court or in the court system of an Islamic world or an Islamic state. Now, let us continue this topic after the break.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are still listening to the program For Humanity. And just before the break, we were looking at the fact that everyone has to be judged equally in the court of Islam under an Islamic state. Among the things that we learn from this verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you need to deal with people based on the crime itself, not based on where they come from, we see such a thing even exist in some countries, and it is written in black and white in their constitution. For example, well, let's not look at it from a faith perspective, but for example, we say if you are a national citizen of such a country, you will be dealt differently than those who are foreigners to this country. And that by any means is not a humane, non-Islamic. For example, if a foreigner comes to a country and let's say either way, he gets in trouble himself or someone would do something to him who is a national, you will see that the law would favor their own citizens over this person. Why? Because he's a foreigner. Or if this person, for example, commits a crime in this country, he will be dealt with harshly more than a citizen would only because he's a foreigner, because he's from a foreign state. Now, that is pretty much the same principle of dealing with people based on their faith. Now, we're not dealing with them based on their faith. We're dealing with them based on their nationality. And some systems depends where you come from as well. Like, they have to be like more specific. If you're from a specific country or specific continent, you will be dealt with harshly. Where, for example, if you're from a different continent, you would go. For example, they give them what we call diplomatic protection. There are, for example, in some countries where the Americans are residing, they have what we call diplomatic protection, where they can go commit a crime and the law cannot touch them. The law of that country cannot touch them. That is insane. And this is, I'm not sure if this applies to the Americans or other people, but there is no such thing as a diplomatic protection where you can commit a crime and get away with it only because you're a citizen of a country that seems to have a bit of power over other nations. This is just oppression in its purest forms. So Islam says, it doesn't matter what your passport is, it doesn't matter what nationality you are, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are all the same. The laws applies to all of you.